You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom.
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, geeksters. Issue 76 of Geek Watch 1.
One more to go!
Yes, one more to go until our Halloween extravaganza.
No, that's not why one more to go.
Why one more to go?
We still have, though, in order to get that answer, you have to email GeekWatch1, or GW, or GeekWatch1@gmail.com, and they'll give you the answer.
Well, see,
Kylan can give you the answer after the show.
No, I started, see, we started at
Kylan,
number 69.
No one's going to send
us. Is this a sex joke?
Not
yeah,
really.
It's a Kylan joke.
It's not really. It depends on
yes, it
a
is.
Certain point. It's a math joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Well, if you add 8 to 69, what do you get?
Andy's thinking over here.
Well, I know the math. I'm just trying to
figure
out.
Yeah, just go with the math to start with.
If you add 8 to 69, you get 77.
That's next week's episode is issue 77.
Oh, I get it.
Yes.
It's a regional dialect kind of thing, too.
Yeah, it is.
So. Yeah. But, no, like I said, next week, remember, is the Meeplecast on Halloween night. And at Malton Meeple in Hudson, Ohio, come out and hang out with us. We still don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but I was thinking,
I got one thing I'll talk about.
What? Well, about so it being issue 77?
Show.
Huh?
You talking about being issue 77?
I do have a special commemoration for issue 77.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to see, you're going to help, we do have a shout-out to our buddy Cameron, who's one of our bloggers. And today, recording on Sunday, this is Cameron's 21st birthday, so happy birthday, Cam.
Happy birthday, Cam!
Should we sing a song?
No.
No, we should do an improv, like, song about Cameron.
No.
Call him up, put him on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. That would be funny, call him out of nowhere. Because you know Cameron, he would be totally confused, like, huh?
He'd be still sleeping.
Because Cameron's so stupid.
No. No, he might be still be sleeping, because actually they were recording late last night. I know Vernon went over to Cam's house and they were recording a bunch of video games.
Oh, he'd be out of it because he's tired.
Yeah, he'd be out of it.
Yeah,
okay, I thought you were saying he was stupid.
No, he'd be sleeping.
He'd still be sleeping.
Sleeping, I got
you. Okay, but yeah, remember, come out next week, hang out with us for enjoy Halloween. Costumes are not necessary, but we'd love to see them anyway.
Oh, so, yeah.
And this show, actually, we have to... Miss Dawn is not with us. She's feeling a little under the weather. But taking her spot on the couch, we actually have Andy and Heather...
And Robin.
...hanging out with us. And Robin.
And Robin.
Hi, Robin.
So, a little later, we're going to... we're probably going to get a little heavy into Connell the Cobb and Oddmall from last week. Because usually we do our Oddmall wrap-up with you guys at the end of the show. We didn't have time at the end of this Oddmall.
No, we did not.
Plus, being out of town, we all wanted to... get home. We had a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
So all the breakdown plus eating plus driving in the rain.
It was like 10 or 10:30 when we got here.
No, it wasn't more than that. It was closer to 11 by the time we dropped.
I think I probably got back the same time you did.
No, you got back 11:30. Stop at the store.
Oh, right, I had to get cat food. Yeah, 11:30.
So, but for Oddmall, that's real late for us, because usually we're out of Oddmall by 8, we're home by, like, 9.
Yeah, but we don't usually have a 2.5-hour drive.
Exactly. Driving out to Toledo was a big difference.
But in the rain.
Later on tonight, we're going to come back on all that, so we can get your guys' impression of your first Oddmall in Toledo. But we had a couple other things that have come out this week that we needed to talk about.
Right.
Right on.
So, let's start with the... stuff that comes out of the Marvel Comics direction.
Marvel's making comics now?
Yeah. They're not just making movies.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it?
But the news we got is mostly out of the movies.
Yes.
What you got, Kylan?
Well, we got 2 major trailers. Well, 1 trailer and 1 teaser trailer.
That's a trailer. There's too much good stuff in
there. Yeah, that's true.
James Gunn called it.
Yeah, but a teaser is just a trailer.
That's yeah, it's a trailer that's shorter.
It's 1 minute. It's yeah. Shorter.
But it's like the it's like a minute of epic plus a super cool poster that was like an album cover.
Oh, black and white. Yeah, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So we got that. And
the black and white poster has two unexpected characters in the poster, actually.
Yes.
I didn't see the poster. I gotta look it up.
Look on my Facebook page or look up James Gunn on Facebook. I highly recommend if you ever actually want to do a social media page with somebody who's involved in the MCU, even if he's not like one of the most central, because James Gunn will tell you he's sort of given a freedom that more of the central lines are not given.
Yes.
In the MCU.
Well, his doesn't have to link in as tightly
not
as some
tightly,
of the other ones.
Not as tightly, right. Definitely follow him on Facebook. It's his official verified page. It's him in person. It's not someone running his account. And I personally have had a couple of interactions with him on there. And he has promised more Gamora in Volume 2.
Awesome.
So,
cool.
Awesome. More Nebula, too, it looks like.
Apparently so, because she's in that poster I was
yeah.
talking
and
about.
And she got some funky cybernetic implant on her head.
Well, she had that to begin with. I mean, that's sort of a
She
thing.
Looks different, though, than she did in the first one.
James Gunn said that there have been some upgrades in the prosthetic application, which is why they didn't have to shave Karen Gillan's head this time completely.
Okay.
She cut it short, and they shaved the back underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she still had the length of her hair, because she was like, I feel bad. Because I had read that she was kind of in mourning over losing her long red hair the first time. She did it, she was excited, and then she was so sad that it took so long to get it back, and she would have to cut it again for the show. And actually, I met her at Wizard World when it was in Cleveland. And I said, oh, I was wondering if you'd have hair this time. And she said, oh, yes, just short. And she kind of brushed her short hair this time. But they have a new technique with the prosthetics. So
okay.
There's a better way to hide her hair underneath
cool.
there. So the prosthetic is a little different on Nebula this time. But Nebula's in that black and white poster we were talking about. And so is Yondu. And Yondu has his mohawk.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, the mohawk looks cool.
And that mohawk, that is his comics authentic
That's it.
Look.
That's his signature style.
And if you look towards the lower part of that poster, behind the leg of Star-Lord.
That's right. You still get Groot.
You still get Groot.
Oh, is he down there?
He's down there. A lot of people said, where's Groot? Zoom in on the photo down at Star-Lord's ankle. There's Groot popping out from behind Star-Lord.
I missed Rocket when I first looked at this, too.
No, right. Rocket's in there. He's over by Yondu. Yeah.
You gotta think, he's only about knee-high to any of them.
Right. You're looking in the wrong place, Ken. You're too tall. Look down.
Hey, I do that with Vicky all the time. If she disappears in stores, I'll turn around, she's right behind me.
She's about Rocket height.
You have a big blind spot.
I've been elbowed in the face many a time.
No! Not cool. But, Groot's down there. If you watch the trailer... First of all, that black and white poster totally looks like an album cover.
Or
a friend of mine said they're all waiting for the bathroom.
Yes. Yes. They're in some 80s metal bar waiting in the hallway for the bathroom.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait in that line. Scary people in that line.
Yeah.
But if you watch the trailer, Baby Groot is at the end of the trailer as well.
Yes.
Or we're calling him Baby Groot. I don't know if he's Baby Groot or not. James Gunn confirmed that this version of Groot does not have the memories of what happened in the first one. So he won't say if it's actually Groot, if it's Baby Groot, or whatever. But at the end of the trailer, he has on a jacket that, in my opinion, looks reminiscent of Star-Lord.
Yes.
Okay.
So seeing him in the poster at Star-Lord's ankle and seeing him with, like, a Star-Lord jacket on makes me wonder if little Groot isn't, like, idolizing Star-Lord in some way.
Well, he is technically, sort of the leader of the team.
Yeah. By default.
It was because
no one else can take
that
job.
It's like the Tom and Jerry cartoon with the duckling, where the duckling thinks Tom's his mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jerry's his mom.
You know what I'm talking about.
I believe it's Jerry. But
okay,
it's
so the duck is following Jerry.
Right. That's an interesting twist on Groot for this time around.
See,
I mean, I think that Gamora could lead the team. She just doesn't want to.
Right. Yeah,
that's a pain. Why would she bother?
In the trailer, one of my favorite points, though, is Drax. Drax talking to Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Because Drax is big, tough, smashing everybody, and looks at Star-Lord straight up and says, you need a hug. No, I'm okay. No, you need. It gives him a big, giant bear hug.
And Star-Lord says, I thought I said no.
And he's like, I don't want to do this.
But there were some great moments in that trailer.
I think that's hinting, though, that we're going to get Nebula.
A softer, more cuddly Drax?
I don't know. That's kind of an interesting concept.
That's scary.
No, I was thinking that we would get more Nebula and Yondu in the main plot line,
yes,
more as heroes with, mm-hmm, our main characters, yes, instead of,
so
as
think,
adversaries.
You think after the last movie, now that Nebula's kind of off in the middle of nowhere because she's lost her boss, she joined up with Yondu now?
I don't know. I have it confirmed that we will not have Thanos in this.
That was my next question.
Right.
Is this
going to
help
Thanos
set up for Avengers?
Well, the thing is, the word is that the Guardians will be in Infinity War.
Yes. But you gotta think also.
I'm trying to think back of what I've read because James Gunn is the best at answering questions without answering them. But yes, they are involved. I don't know about that.
Dave Filoni is a master of the non-answer when it comes to Clone Wars or Rebels, things like that.
James Gunn is really careful about, he'll give you an answer, but it's like the most vague possible way of answering it.
And one of those answers where you walk away like, hey, he answered my question. I still know nothing.
Yes, we know Thanos has to be in Infinity War. That's a given.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you gotta think, they have to at least mention Thanos probably because you have Gamora and Nebula.
Right, and because of the nature of where some of the stones are being stored, we have to do a galactic story of some kind.
Yeah,
right.
So it is more than likely that we'll see at least two or three of the main Guardians characters in Infinity War, if not a larger chunk in a peripheral.
I would almost think that may be where we're getting at least one of the stones, is having them bring it in.
Well, absolutely. Well, Nova Corps has one of them right now.
Right.
So
who does?
Nova Corps.
Nova Corps has one. I think the Collector still had, or had one.
The Collector should have one. I think the Collector, and not at the same time, has possessed two of them.
Yeah.
Right. Howard
that they've
Duck's
been
head.
In and out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, also, isn't it Asgard has one? Don't they? Or where did the Aether Stone go?
Yeah, Odin had two of them.
Was it Odin?
Well,
had
Loki now has the Aether.
That's
because he's masquerading as Odin, maybe?
Yeah. Well, he was at the end of the last movie.
Right.
We have no idea where this one's going. From what everything I've
heard,
Ragnarok's going to be strange.
Yeah, see, the thing is,
it has Hulk, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's going to have World War Hulk storyline going.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I love Mark Ruffalo, so I'll take it.
Well, actually, talking to Mark Ruffalo, I think you guys covered this on Mighty Marvel Geeks, didn't you, about the director of Thor Ragnarok was saying how, one, it's going to be the strangest of all the Marvel movies.
Right.
And it's going to be out there. But two,
Stranger than Doctor Strange.
Well, Mark Ruffalo steals the show, not Hulk. Mm-hmm. Banner steals the show on this one.
See, I love Ruffalo's Banner because he gets the awkward and the weird.
Yeah.
At least of what I picture Banner being, so.
I think he has, the best socially awkward take on it. Like, Ed Norton was capable of the intellectual end of it, but he wasn't as awkward as Ruffalo is. And I think that there's, like, an emotional depth to him in this particular actor. There's a meshing of the character.
I think it's nice that the thing that I can honestly, and it just came to me, is that this is the first time that we got a Banner that is not inspired by
the television show.
Because if you think about it, all the other versions of Banner were inspired by Bill Bixby's Banner.
Right.
This is a Banner that is not inspired.
I actually like that Banner, but I wasn't reading the comics at all either.
That's true.
See,
but then again, a lot of people, that's how they're introduced to the character of the Hulk was that TV series.
Right, and so it's nice that we actually have a Banner that is, that gets the whole, especially like the one scene at the end of, was it the end of Iron Man 3? Where Tony is talking, you see him in a chair, and he's talking, and then you pan over, and it's Banner, and he's like, you do realize I'm not the kind of doctor, right?
Science froze.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's the science
froze. A doctor is a doctor.
Right, you know.
But I like the idea. With a Thor movie, intrinsically with the MCU, if you do it without a Midgardian character, like a human character, you're going to see it more as a fantasy film.
Yes.
And to ground it in the MCU, you always need that character who's going to look at it the way us average humans
would
look at it.
Yeah, you need us in this movie.
You need a Jane. You need, in this case, we get Bruce Banner, who's not exactly us, but because of the changes we've seen going on with the idea of registering people with super abilities, he's still a representative
of us. I still
say
DC has it so much easier to mention that someone with superpower. Marvel, they don't have one all-encompassing term for superpowered peoples, do they?
No, they're more creative than that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, DC came up with just one on their own. They're all metahumans. That's the way it works.
No, because he...
Or alien. One of the
you have some people, you have mutants, well, you have people who are born with the abilities, then you have...
Yeah, but you can't break the MCU.
What about, like,
Cyborg
and stuff like that? Is he considered a metahuman?
Technically, I believe he is.
But isn't he just a person with jazz on him?
Yeah, he's a cybernetic organism.
What Ken is saying is there's one catch-all phrase for somebody who's more than human.
Yeah, more than human.
In DC. Right.
So, yeah,
in
you have
Marvel,
cybernetic and you have alien, but if you're a human with powers, you're metahuman.
In Marvel, it's like Shades of the Rainbow. We like to be more definitive. About
in other words, confusing. But we did get another trailer out this week. And this one, I think, my first impression of Logan... Now, this is, anybody who doesn't know, it's the last of the Wolverine movies, I believe. It's supposed to be Hugh Jackman's last movie.
It is Hugh Jackman's last appearance as Wolverine. And they're counting that appearance that he had in Deadpool as one of his Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his just escape.
Well, also, you
got
to think, really, realistically, Logan is supposed to age so much slower than everybody else that Hugh Jackman is aging faster than the character could age.
Right.
It's like
what happened with Data on
Star
Trek.
It's becoming more and more difficult to... hide that he is actually aging.
But you can also tell a story in a different time frame.
Well, that's what this is doing.
That twists it around a little, and it's obvious that we've done that here. However, my question is, and, you know, I love, much love to the X properties, because they're my favorite comic books ever, but what Fox has done with them is sometimes puzzling to me. So I can't tell if the world we're getting in Logan is the continuous timeline that we've now rebooted, or if it's something else.
Well, at this point, I don't think it really matters as much.
Well, actually, it does because based on Logan's physiology and how old he is at this point, he should be outliving Charles. Like when I think Old Man Logan, I'm thinking like...
Old Man Logan should be really...
Yeah.
Has anyone read the Old Man Logan comics?
See, I haven't read the
that
series. No.
I mean,
either
I'll be truthful here. As much as I love the X properties, I read very little that was just Wolverine mainline.
Right.
Yeah. But what'd you
have? Say for Hugh Jackman, it's getting harder and harder for him to keep that physical physique.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
And once you get to a certain point, your body doesn't rebuild the same way as it always did.
And my own personal gripe with the Hugh Jackman casting, which his acting is phenomenal. I love that end of it very much. But I'm very much into Wolverine should be short.
Yeah.
Wolverine
really
should be short. It should be Andy.
But if
Andy has the Wolverine build for
Andy
the
does have the Wolverine.
Well, the thing is...
I have trouble getting my claws to come out, though.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Jackman, he's a taller guy. But there is a lot of times in the movies, if you watch closely enough, that they did try to play him as short as they could. They did some camera tricks to make him shorter than others, but he wasn't the... Because Wolverine in the comics is, what, 5 foot?
Yeah,
or
5'2". Really, he's down in the Andy range.
So imagine Andy and me sitting side by side. You guys, Wolverine and Colossus?
Yeah, that's the idea, pretty much.
Yeah, Sabretooth.
Fastball special.
But I love it. They used Johnny Cash for the music on this made the trailer look so much better, I think.
That's the thing. That's the challenge for it. Like, the trailer is mostly conversation and people driving around in cars and stuff. But it's got the song, Empire of Dirt, which makes it sound really cool.
And there's very little that you see of the superpoweredness of either Xavier or Wolverine in this particular trailer.
This one's very much showing the concept of the movie and the fact that Wolverine and Charles and all these guys are very old. This is, now, the only thing you see that gives you a time reference at all in the is the one, I don't know, what character is that with the cybernetic arm? Do you know?
I do not know.
There's one guy in it that actually has a robot hand.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, there's one. Other than that, the
Heather
vehicles
failed.
And everything else.
But you have X-23. X-23
is the
girl.
Yeah,
is that the girl?
That's
girl?
The girl.
Yes, that's the girl.
And in Marvel Comics, wasn't she the replacement for Wolverine?
She's his genetic daughter.
Right.
Okay. So, wait, how's that work?
Well, I mean...
I know how that works.
How are they going
to... Yeah. Did he have him married at some point and have a daughter? Or?
No, he...
But was it cloning?
Have you seen the Doctor Who episode where the Doctor's daughter...
Oh, Jenny appears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
Sort of like that.
Yeah, they just take DNA and clone it.
Yeah, you remember at the end of
Was it the end of Wolverine that somebody took his... They had taken his DNA.
It was Days of Future Past.
Yeah, Days of Future Past.
Okay.
And so somebody stole his DNA. They put in the case.
It's Mr. Sinister.
They're hinting that Mr. Sinister is coming.
No, it's not just hinting anymore. Okay. It's been
confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
At some point,
I think that's the next movie. Anyway.
No, Mr. Sinister is in this Wolverine.
Oh, he's in this one?
Yeah, he's apparently the main villain of this movie.
If you're aware of the Mr. Sinister comic book plotline, he is a classically trained Victorian Darwinian biologist scientist.
Yes.
Okay.
And he figures out that not only are people evolving into mutants, but that there are ways that you could manipulate mutant genetic code to create, like, super mutants and immortals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he becomes obsessed with
certain...
So he's
the Great Highlanders?
Essentially.
In essence, yeah.
And there are immortals in the X-Men books, but that's a different line.
Yeah.
So what happens is he becomes obsessed with certain genetic lines that have more potential than others.
Okay.
So
The Summerses
all their various timelines and incarnations are of...
If you ever see anybody in an X-Men universe with the last name of Summers, they're mutants of some sort.
They're a mutant, and somehow they are either cloned or genetically directly descended from Jean, Madeline, Scott, Nathan, Cable, Alex.
It all starts with Alex, Scott, and Jean. Because most of the rest are from that.
But Jean
in
is
the comic,
Summers.
She becomes a Summers.
Yeah, but I mean,
Jean's genetic potential is half of the reason Mr. Sinister is so obsessed with that family.
Yeah.
Because remember, Jean is, even Xavier says, Jean is untapped, regardless.
His name. he goes to the bank, he needs a loan or something. Like, Mr. Sinister, is it? You know, like, does he get bank loans? Or
he has a real name. I mean, go back and read the...
What is his real name?
There's a limited...
Leonard Sinister.
I'm failing here. Go back and read the...
No, he does have a real name, but it's just kind of funny. That's just a convention in comics in general.
There's a limited that explains his Victorian backstory that's beautiful, and it ties into, perceptions of Victorians. It's sort of steampunky in that it takes, science in the Victorian era and jumps it up into modern genetic engineering.
Well, when's Logan coming out? I don't remember. Is that March? It's March of 2017.
Hey, I'm not...
It does!
What?
The word sinister means left-handed.
Look, the last time you told me to look up something...
And the word dexter means right-handed.
Nathaniel Essex.
It's true. It's true.
That's Mr. Sinister's real name. And at one point, he was working with Apocalypse, which is why at the end of Age of Apocalypse, you hear rumblings of collecting DNA.
Yes. Well, we know this is coming out in March. This trailer, like I said, was straight up... It wasn't as much a story trailer, or an action trailer, as much as it was just giving you the feel of what is this world.
Very much. Yes. And it did you sort of get a Mad Max vibe off of it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if I remember right, I've seen...
Logan!
Logan. Well, pictures I saw of the old...
Where you at?
Well, the pictures I've seen of Old Man Logan comic book, I've never read it, but I've seen some panels from it. It is a very much out in the Badlands type of show.
Okay, so I've only seen it once, but the second Wolverine movie, the one with Mecha Samurai.
Yeah.
Okay, don't they do some stuff to him that hurts his healing factor and stuff?
I don't know, but that could explain why
he's aging.
That's why he was in the...
That's true, because they did... somehow manage to kind of stunt his mutant abilities.
Well, also, when they added the adamantium to him, they had to do the same thing, didn't they? They had to make him sick or something so he wouldn't heal fast enough that they could add it.
That's why they wanted him, because his healing factor would make him the only one who could survive such a process.
Yeah. Now, there's a good question, though.
What?
Could Deadpool survive it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now.
The Deadpool's...
Imagine Deadpool with the adamantium skeleton and the claws.
Deadpool's healing factor is probably stronger than Wolverine's, I believe.
Yeah. But it doesn't return him to a pristine state.
No, it doesn't.
No, because his healing factor is curing his cancer at the rate that the cancer is spreading.
Yeah.
Well, this is where we miss Dawn, because
Dawn
would be... She would be like, oh, yeah, he already did that, and it was in this alternate continuity.
Deadpool's been, nuked. Actually turned into radioactive dust and come back from it.
Yeah.
Well, no. That's the two Marvel trailers that dropped this, and that's the next two after Doctor Strange that are coming out.
I'm so excited about Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange is going to be amazing.
You guys know that it was kind of dropped accidentally that the stone is the eye of Agamotto, right?
That's one of the Infinity Stones?
Yeah.
Yes. Cool.
It's one of the stones.
Well,
also, Facebook is doing this trippy thing with their sponsored ads for Doctor Strange. It looks like posts about Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. like two Facebook posts, and then it breaks open between the posts. And becomes the buildings bending in the middle of your Facebook screen. Which, the first time I saw it, I was like, what?
Well, since we don't have cable, we have the CW app. That's where we've been watching all of our DC comics. And it's like, I think Marvel has bought every second of ad time on the CW app.
There you go.
Because in between, on the commercials of every one of Flash, Arrow, all of those, all the commercials have at least one Doctor Strange commercial also.
I have to say something. We were watching Legends of Tomorrow. And
it's awesome this year, I think.
The amulet in Legends of Tomorrow looks an awful lot like the Eye of Agamotto.
You know,
yeah, that new one.
That's what they do. You know, DC and Marvel, they're all like, oh, you got an eye? I got an eye, too.
And they say, well, you know, there are people who are obsessed with the Strange.
The only thing I have to say about this...
Why do you got to say it like that?
But the only thing I got to say about that is Red Tool.
What is that?
You guys don't know Red Tool?
No, but I can guess.
It's basically in Harley Quinn. In the Harley Quinn comics, there is a black and red superhero with a red hammer on his face.
His name is the Red Tool.
Yeah, but
he is Deadpool in DC.
Yeah.
No, that's Harley. It's in Harley Quinn.
But it's a comedy?
No, he is a comic character, yes. He's a comedic character. He's an assassin.
Deadpool was already kind of ripped off from Deathstroke.
I know.
So it
looks like this is going to be a joke that's going to go, because Red Tool's not that old of a character.
Okay.
So I'm just waiting to see where Marvel takes the next one.
Name, that is, that so is. Red Tool is ripping on the character that's ripping on their character?
Yeah.
So, it's a meta thing.
Yeah. So to quote Snoop Dogg, when you diss Dre, you diss yourself. So that's kind of like what they're saying, like that little...
That's right.
Why you gotta bring Snoop Dogg in it?
Because, man, it's true. Because, I mean, I'm just saying that's a bit of wisdom.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, just sort of like, you know, when Mike Brady told Cindy that when you tattletale, that you're only telling on yourself.
That's true.
See? You know, it's the same
thing. That's deep.
That's deep. That's profound. You never thought that you hear Snoop Dogg.
It's like, you're like Mike Yoda.
Well, you know.
Except you make sense.
You know what? I totally had a way to go talking about Doctor Strange, and I got completely sidetracked by this whole Red Tool business.
Okay, that's definitely...
Okay.
No, yeah, that over. In that's Red Tool.
DC's all like a color and a theme.
So many people ship Deadpool and Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
I know.
So many people.
So it's funny that I'm waiting to see what the next meta, where's Marvel going to go with this time. And
but you know, from what I understand of that is like the accountants and stuff. They're the ones who are like, no, we can't do all this because of licensing everything.
Right.
But the artists are all friends with each other.
Well, that's because a lot of them work for both companies.
Right,
yeah, like the creative people. They move from one to the other.
You know, I think given the option and the ability to do it, Dan Zadio, Jim Lee, and Jeff Johns would work a lot closer with Marvel guys and actually do crossover things here and there. It's
Amalgam?
Like you said, the bookkeepers. Oh, the Amalgam, I thought was... We still got to do a show with you guys about Amalgam.
Oh, yeah.
Amalgam, anybody who doesn't know, in the mid-90s, DC and Marvel actually threw all in on a crossover universe for... It took almost a year to get all the way through it, didn't it?
It did, because there were so many titles.
It was like a six-issue miniseries of DC versus Marvel.
Right.
Which had characters from both universes in it. It was made by DC and Marvel. And then it spawned off the Amalgam Universe, which was combination characters of all of the DC and Marvel characters. You had Super Soldier, which was a cross of Superman and Captain America.
They had Bruce Wayne, Agent of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
They had... Wolverine wasn't... It was a Darkclaw.
Yeah.
So it was Batman and Wolverine mixed together. They had a bunch of different stuff.
So they had Bruce Wayne as an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they had Batman
as Darkclaw. No, that was a different character.
It was like a mashup.
Yeah, they're all mashups.
There was... Like, I have in my possession, there was a miniseries crossover of Batman and Daredevil that was really good.
Yeah. They've done it three times. Over the years, Marvel...
There have been a few, like, full-on crossovers. I don't know if you will see it so much now because the competition is so heavy.
They're trying to push the competition a lot more.
Right, so...
Well, IDW did a Star Trek Doctor Who crossover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I remember where I was going to go with Doctor Strange, by the way. Did anybody see the Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange on Jimmy Fallon?
No.
Yes.
I heard
about it.
You need to go look that up. It's like 5 to 7 minutes of your life that you will just thoroughly enjoy. Also, it's imagine if you accidentally called Doctor Strange to be the magician at your child's birthday party.
Okay.
It's fabulous. I very much enjoyed it. But he does it in character, and I was thinking the cape looks so, like, iconic and on its own. Like,
yes.
It's so alive. It's,
yes.
That's a beautiful piece of construction. I read an article about it. I don't remember where it's from, so sorry, no credits to whoever you were, but somebody did an interview with the costume designer who worked on that cape, and that cape took an entire department of 16 people, like, 3 months to design, because they kept going through, no, the collar can't be that tall, because if the collar was as tall as it is in the comics, his face would disappear.
Exactly.
But the collar has to be tall enough, and it has to stick out in such a way. And
to still be Dr. Strange.
And then a small portion of it is CG, but a good part of it is an actual cape that was handmade, and it is non-symmetrical and made of all this insane fabric. You should really read about it. It's pretty fabulous.
Cool. Well, let's move out of comics for a minute.
Oh, can we mention Steve Dillon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You guys just told me. I didn't catch that.
We want to just take a moment to remember Steve Dillon. He died a couple of days ago.
As far as I haven't heard a cause of death.
Yeah.
No cause of death is unknown.
He's the co-creator of Preacher. He's an artist. He also did Punisher and Hellblazer.
Hellblazer, yeah.
So it basically stayed in the same realm with it came to art.
All
and stuff.
Dark and
very dark, very gritty type characters.
Dark, character driven.
Yes.
Gritty.
Violence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely one of those people who added something to the genre that wasn't necessarily there before. So he will be missed.
Moving out of comics, then we actually got some Star Wars news in the last couple days.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are excited about this. I don't know the actor very much because I never watched Community, but we got, for the new Han Solo movie that's coming out after Episode 8, I don't know how I never made it on Community. It's on the list. I will get there. Give me a minute.
No. Cool.
It's cool.
But anybody doesn't know, the new Han Solo movie, they have cast Lando Calrissian for it. It's going to be Donald Glover.
I loved him in Lethal Weapon.
What?
That's the other Glover.
That's the other Glover.
Oh.
Donald Glover, you know, the rapper.
Donald Glover, the rapper, yeah.
Isn't he running for president?
Who isn't this year?
Yeah. But, speaking of which, Vicky and I have been loving that Lethal Weapon TV show. That is hilarious.
Yes.
That is still Lethal Weapon on TV. But back to Star Wars.
Lando, yes. I think Donald Glover will be excellent casting as Lando.
He has actually been on the top of most people's shortlists and rumor mill for the last 6 months.
He would have been my pick right off the bat.
Yes.
Since they announced, I think it was at Celebration, they announced Han Solo, where they actually played on. It was a Celebration or Comic-Con. One of those, they announced who was playing
I think it
Han
was Celebration.
Solo.
Which, actually, I think is a great choice, too. I've only recognized him from one thing that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't remember
great.
His name off the top of my head.
It's Alden R. Reich and Rockenbachen.
Alden Ehrenreich.
That's
Ehrenreich.
It.
Yeah, that's it.
But he was in Hail Caesar.
Okay.
And he was really good in it.
Hail Caesar. Yeah.
Okay.
He's very versatile.
Well, this looks like it's going to be fun.
How did you miss Community?
I don't know how.
Community is.
I know what it was about. I just didn't.
It's one of those things when you get the chance to start it, you're going
to
start out. You'll be like, the first two or three episodes are fabulous, and then somehow you will fall down the hole, and a week later you will have watched three seasons of something.
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to happen to you when you watch Community.
Yeah.
Community is super geek.
I think that's one of the reasons why I have not started it yet.
It's positive super geek too.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, like, I've always said that. Ben Wyatt on Parks and Rec is an excellent representation of a realistic geek in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Ben Wyatt younger in college with other varieties of geek. That's sort of how Community evolves.
Yes.
Like, everyone has their own geek niche, and they all sort of...
But they're not all geeks.
Oh, they are in some way. I mean, except for Joel McHale.
No, I mean, in
Joel
the sense
McHale.
That everybody is in some way.
Yeah. So, but Donald Glover.
Yes.
Has been cast as Lando Calrissian. They have confirmed that we are going to see Han Solo getting the Falcon in this movie. The one question I had was, we researched this on Wookiee Radio last night, some too, that we know in canon that Lando or Han won the ship from, and I checked it on Wikipedia, so I checked the actual canon line, that Han won the Falcon from Lando in a Sabacc game, that Han may have cheated.
Yes.
But that's all that's in canon right now.
May
if you look
cheated?
At Legends...
pretty sure he cheated.
Yeah. But if you look back in the Legend story, there was actually, they finished the story that at this point, Lando had a bunch of ships all in one garage, and Han won one of the ships from Lando. And it was his choice. And so Lando had all these luxury shots, pretty much. He had luxury ships, he had beautiful cargo ships, these fat, super fast, sleek racers. But and then he had this one piece of garbage sitting over in the corner that, unbeknownst to anybody else, Lando had been souping it up as his personal smuggling ship. And Han passed all of those up and chose the Falcon, which was Lando's favorite ship. Mm-hmm. So then that was why Lando was so upset about this. That's what it shows in Legends. But Han, are we going to go with that? Oh, yeah.
Well, they're tweaking canon as they go along, and they're throwing out whatever doesn't suit whatever they're trying to
Well, see, the nice thing is they're not throwing it out. They're setting it aside for a chance to bring it in later, like what they're doing with Thrawn on Rebels.
Yeah,
right. That's true.
Everything that's in Legends that they had taken a set aside, they said all of it is available to be used. It may not be used the way it was used originally, but the ideas and concepts are still there, and it's a huge treasure trove of stuff they can use.
Right.
So they don't have to rewrite history.
Ooh, maybe we'll find out how Dengar got his bandages then.
Oh my god. It's
possible. Well, we'd have to go back before the Clone Wars, because he had him in the Clone Wars.
True.
That's the question that's been burning in my mind.
Well, no, right. One of the Tales of the Bounty Hunters book. Did you read that?
Yeah.
That he gets him in a swoop bike race with Han Solo.
Yeah. We do know in the new canon, though, Han Solo is a racer.
Yeah.
He races ships and things like that. Because in between Jedi and The Force Awakens, he had gone back to racing ships again.
So, okay, young Han Solo. What's
I know what happened. I know exactly what happened.
What happened?
He was working on his ship. And Chopper hit a button, and he got blasted from the thing.
Who, Dengar?
that was the ship that Chopper was staring at.
Oh, the Y-Wing. Did you see Rebels this week?
Yeah.
Last week.
I saw last week.
Where they have the crashed Y-Wings. You're saying Dengar was the pilot of that ship? That could fit into
canon. You're right, he was in Clone Wars, though, with his bandages.
But would
the Han Solo movie take place during the Clone Wars, or would that be after?
I think it's going to be after the Clone Wars. They've never set a time for it, but I'm thinking it's between the Clone Wars and Episode 4. It'll be before Rebels, obviously. Yeah,
Episode 4 was about 19 to 20 years
after
Luke is like Episode 19, 3. Right?
Yeah, somewhere in that.
Okay.
So it's 19 to 20 years, somewhere in there between the two. Rebels is 5 years before, or starts right now, we're about 2.5 years out from New Hope.
Right.
But Rebels is there. Rogue One is going to be within less than about 6 months, probably before Episode 4.
Right.
So there's so still 15 years that have nothing.
Was around 30-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he could have been. It could have been at 10 years after the Clone Wars. He would have been about 20 years old.
I didn't touch it.
Heather's phone's talking to us again.
Okay, so
on
what
mute,
are you speculating then? Like right after the Clone Wars? Do you think the Clone Wars will play into the Han Solo movie?
No, I think it's going to be closer to Episode 4.
Because we've already had Chewbacca in the Clone Wars, so...
Well, we know Chewbacca is about 200 years old when we get to Episode 4.
Right.
Because Wookiees last 300 to 400 years or more.
They have a pretty long shelf life. As long as you don't put them out in the sun.
Exactly.
Right.
The sun does
Did you know the dryer. If you don't put cut a Wookiee in half and put each half in a bowl, and you put the seed in one bowl, and you don't put a seed in the other bowl, the side with the seed will rot slower than the other side?
I don't know.
Those are avocados, Andy. Avocados.
Wookiees, avocados.
So, we know that they have to have Chewbacca in the movie, even though they've not mentioned it. No, but that's an automatic.
I read from the producer saying yes, it's the story of Han and Chewie.
Yeah. Right. So we know that's going to happen. So this, like I said, it can't be. It's probably 10 years or less. It may be dead center between the two.
Right.
But we'll find out in 2 years.
I'm speculating. Right.
Exactly. There's gonna see. That's the greatest thing with the future of Star Wars being so open, and the fact that Legends can be used but doesn't have to be. You're open for full speculation. You don't have to take anything of that into consideration.
True. Daniel Logan is right about the age to play Boba Fett.
That's actually on the short list of a lot of people for playing a live action Boba Fett in something. I don't see him being in this movie.
I don't either.
Because if you look at canon, we've had this discussion. If you look at Star Wars canon, mm-hmm. Boba Fett was just a bounty hunter. He was doing it. There's nothing in the movies or anywhere else right now that says he was an arch enemy of Luke or Han Solo.
No.
He was working for Jabba collecting a bounty.
Right.
That's all it was.
And I really hope that he's not.
Yeah, there was no personal beef between them that they show in the movies.
No.
Right. He's just doing a job.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to collect twice, that's even better. He collects from the Empire for finding Han and them for them, and then he takes Han from the Empire and drops him off to Jabba and collects again.
Right.
That's good business.
Wait, it was bad business,
though. It was bad business.
Well, it ended up being bad business for him.
If Bosch or Leia can get 35,000 for Chewie,
Why didn't Boba Fett take Chewie with him?
Because that wasn't the bounty to start with, I guess. I don't know.
But he...
Maybe after Han, or Jabba got Han, he's like, you know what? I want a match set. Then he put a bounty on Chewie.
Maybe. Or maybe just Vader said he wanted Chewie.
We never found out how much money Han was worth. Han may have been 400,000 to 500,000 credits.
Yeah,
where Chewie was only 35. So so Boba's like, you know what? He ain't even worth it. Especially the fact that I have to keep him live. Han Solo's already frozen in carbonite. All I gotta do is put him in a cargo hold and forget about him.
Froze Chewie too. Maybe he's too tall for the carbonite block.
Yeah, I mean, because it was kind of...
Yeah, it wasn't that... The carbon block wasn't that much bigger than Han.
Yeah.
So...
All right.
But,
I'll buy it.
Yeah, so that's what's coming up for that movie. But that's not even until 2018.
Right.
So we got a long way to go on this. It's actually almost surprising that they're... No, I'll bet you they go into production for this right around January, February.
Yeah.
In order to get all the effects and everything, because episode 8 is already it's wrapped. They're done with episode 8.
Right.
They just have to finish everything up, and that doesn't even come out until next Christmas.
Exactly.
So, Han Solo will be starting soon because they're actually only 5 months after episode 8 because they're dropping back into the May time slot.
Are they?
Okay. Yeah. Han Solo is going to be May 2018.
Okay.
Does that mean Avatar is going to get pushed back another year or more?
I don't know. That's actually one of the things people are wondering because. Avatar got bumped because of episode 8, I believe, because they were supposed to be December of next year.
Well, they were going to do, I believe, May, but then when Rogue One got pushed to December, it was pushed to December, but then Rogue One went to December, and then it got pushed again. It got pushed to spring next year.
Oh, okay.
Spring next year sometime.
Then we're clear on spring of next year if you're trying to stay away from Star Wars. Because the year after that, we have.
Well, originally episode 8 was going to be next May.
Yeah.
But they moved that to December.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Which actually. I've heard a lot of people talking about this, and it makes sense to me that actually make December the release month for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because what always made Star Wars great, partially, was having the summer movie season. And the fact that people go see movies a lot more in the summer, kids are off of school, things like that. Well, The Force Awakens, we found out it made so much, a lot of the money it made was Christmas holiday.
Right.
And everybody's off school, a lot of people are off of work.
Yeah.
And everybody went and saw the movie. And saw the movie, and saw the movie, and saw the movie, and saw the movie. Right. I think I saw it 7 times.
I watched it yesterday.
So, I can't wait. We got, 2 weeks until it comes out on 3D?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, you don't have a 3D TV, though, do you? The 3D release is going to have a bunch of new special features and stuff, too. It's got an audio commentary with J.J. Abrams.
Okay, right.
It's got more deleted scenes, and it's got all the originals features also. So,
right. This
is what they should have put out originally, but
Disney. They want to make money twice.
Exactly, yeah. It's Disney. So, but, with them being in the winter break there, they make all this extra money, and then it's perfect, because then also, you get a couple of tentpole movies that come out November, December, but it's not as packed as the summers have been getting.
Right.
So. I don't know, because this fall is just crazy. I mean, Andy and I just went and saw Miss Peregrine. I know a lot of people weren't as into that as I was, but I'm a Tim Burton fan, and I had read the book, so I liked it, but then between... Miss Peregrine, and then Doctor Strange, and then Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and then Rogue One.
Well,
this is a heck of a holiday season this year.
In the 2 months, we have Doctor Strange, you mentioned, Fantastic Beasts, and Rogue One are the only major tentpole films. There's only 3 of them there.
Yeah, but they're big ones.
But when you get into the summer where every week has a new tentpole film.
That's true.
In the summer. Every week you got another one that's pulling that same audience.
That's true.
So when's Arrival
coming out?
Arrival
doing the Bib Fortuna show.
11/11.
Okay.
Actually, when's Doctor Strange?
Fourth? There's a weekend before.
November okay, the weekend 5th, before.
I think.
Fourth? Yeah.
Fourth or fifth? Okay.
Okay.
That weekend.
So, but actually, we're about a good time now to get a little bit into Oddmall.
Oddmall?
Let's get into Con of the Cop first, because Oddmall we'll finish up everything with.
Okay.
So, because that's where we usually do the wrap-up anyways, the last thing we do on the show. But Con of the Cop, what kind of new news we got for Con of the Cop? Anything that's happened recently?
No news is good news with
Gary Gnu.
Con of the Cop. Man, there's so much going on at Con of the Cop this year, I can't even keep it straight in my brain.
Well, Kylie, do you have your list of panels? We're going to go through a little bit of that.
Some of the panels have changed.
Yeah, some have changed. I know we have panels that are, we have panels that are featuring writing because, let's talk about being a writer or someone want to be a writer, which is being headed up with Marcus Calvert.
Yes.
He's doing that. He's back. Where there's going to be a panel on writing fight scenes.
Okay.
We actually have a paranormal, maybe a couple paranormal panels. Those go over really well. I'm surprised that
every show we do, the paranormal panels do well.
They do.
The, at Oddball, we had two the one investigators from out in that Toledo area,
right?
Had two panels, and they had probably half of the room was packed out for both shows.
And actually, they contacted us. They want to continue that. So
okay,
and they shall.
Yes, and. And we'll also have a, we'll have a World of Andy Hop panel.
Okay.
We will.
Yes.
The World of Andy Hop. I live on Earth with the rest of you.
well, that's going to pack the room because the Oinklings will all be there to see this.
Oh, okay. You mean the Mother Wife? Yeah, happening on, that's actually going to be fun. If you guys aren't familiar with, you know, what I do, come to the panel. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. And there'll be, Kylan has just told me through psychic powers that he's bringing cookies.
I thought it was brownies.
Okay.
Or brownies. No, brownies are at our party.
Are you still doing brownies at the party?
That's actually the most important.
We're not allowed to not do it.
Yeah. That's pretty much the most important event at Con on the Cob is the brownie making competition at the Geek Watch 1.
Okay, kind of. What's it called? The Big Bad Brownie Bake Off or something?
Bonanza.
Big Brownie Bake Off Bonanza.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what? Speaking of Bonanza, there's this magazine. I think it's out of print, but you might want to check out some back issues. It's called Cheeks Bonanza. Just look it up.
That's a
Kyle thing. But look it up.
That's, you know, not what? A PG Google. Not
PG. Anyway, I saw it at a newsstand once.
Yeah. But what other stuff do we have coming for Con on the Cob this year, Andy?
Brownies.
Yeah.
Art show. Fundraiser. Oh, man, you got to understand the parties we have going on this year.
Oh, yeah.
Insane. There's going to be so many parties. At least two. But more like 12. Thursday, we got this cool meet and greet party. So, people who are listening to this, if you don't come to Con on the Cob, first of all, come to Con on the Cob, but if you're used to coming like on Saturday or Friday and you miss Thursday, don't miss Thursday. Seriously, even if you just come after work on Thursday, it's no extra money to come on Thursday than it is to come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because the price for 2 days is the same as the price for 4 days. So come Thursday night. We're doing this thing. It's kind of a new thing we're doing, a meet and greet party. We used to have the artsy, fartsy, fancy, schmancy, artiste soiree and champagne meet and greet. This year, we're getting the word artist out of there because it's for everybody. It always was, but people got confused.
Well, so, we always thought of it as, like, come meet the artist.
Yeah.
But people didn't think of it that way. So it's been rebranded.
But this is your chance to get to know the Con on the Cob staff, to get to know all the guests that are coming to Con on the Cob, to get to know your fellow con goers.
You can come and meet Kylan and myself and Miss Dawn and Miss Vicky.
Rumor has it that someone very famous is going to be there. I don't know if you guys have seen The Fifth Element or not.
Okay.
No. Well, wait a minute. Yes, but
those are may or may not be related sentences. Will George Lucas be at Con on the Cob this year? That's the headline.
Okay. Oh. Hey, you gotta get him to click somehow.
That's right.
And then your first sentence in the article just says no.
No, you have to put that farther down because the first few sentences usually show up at the bottom of the
page. Okay. Huh?
Could have a George and a Lucas.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what I did a long time ago,
George, one Lucas.
On a semi-related note, I used to have a hermit crab that I named a George Lucas. I gave one of my original drawings to the hermit crab, and that way I could tell people that George Lucas owns one of my original drawings. It makes it sound more prestigious. But it's true. I mean, the hermit crab's name, I'm technically, not technically, but I guess at least by, you know, the powers of possession and the rules we have about humans owning hermit crabs in this world, I am that hermit crab's father, which allows me to name that hermit crab. If I want to name a hermit crab George Lucas, I'll name a hermit crab George Lucas. I'm a grown man. Right? I can name
a hermit crab what I want to name a hermit crab.
You
want to name George Lucas?
I'll name a hermit crab George Lucas.
One thing that Vicky wanted to point out so we don't forget it is what she's making her fascinators for here is we have our silent auction that we have every year. We're actually going to have a separate charity auction, I believe, this year also, wasn't it, Heather? The charity auction in memory of Rick?
Yeah, I'm not.
Do you have some of the details? Do we have any details on that?
I have no details. No.
I know we have a lot of the staff and friends of the con are going to be donating items for this. I'm not sure. Have you guys chosen a charity or who this is going
to
get yet?
It would go to the Fraternal Order of Police for Ohio.
Okay, so
in Rick's name,
we're doing a charity auction.
That means we'll get those "Don't give me a ticket" stickers on our license plate.
There you go. Nice. Yes.
But we're doing a charity auction in Rick's name. As part of our party and just the memory of Rick in this show, that we have
to get out of drag racing, right?
I'll be donating a huge Motherwave Creations prize package worth at least $700.
Oh, real. Nice.
Wow.
I know Vicky
for
is...
real.
I know I have actually a piece of art that I made and I gave to Rick, and he accidentally left it at my house. It's a collage of a steampunk sonic screwdriver. It's in a frame that you can put, like, on your desk or hang on the wall.
Oh, sweet.
I'm going to put
cool.
that in there.
I know Vicky has the one of her Fascinator hats she's making that's actually a Doctor Who-themed hat.
Don't bid on that. That's mine.
Well, see, you may get a bidding war here. So this is going to be a separate auction compared to from our normal
I
one.
I found specific Doctor Who.
Yeah, she found charms to put on it that are Doctor Who charms.
Nice.
Wow.
So that's just a couple of things that are in this auction. So you got to come out to Con of the Cop because this is only going to happen at Con of the Cop, right?
On a related
note.
In our
party, I've got Doctor Who drinks. I'm already planning.
That's at the Geek Watch 1 party Friday night.
Okay.
But speaking of auctions, though, this year's auction is looking to be really huge.
Okay.
You know, we have our game and geek auction that goes throughout the con, and people listening, you guys, right now, the people I'm talking to that have headphones on maybe or maybe don't have headphones on, all the people out there in TV land or radio land or
radio
computer land.
Land,
whatever, people
podcast
in the land, all you people out there who are coming to Con the Cop are encouraged not only to bid on things in the auction, but to bring things to the auction.
Yes.
Do you have any games, toys, comics, collectibles, I don't know,
anything
leftover human skulls that are in your basement?
I'll take the skulls.
Yeah.
Bring the
whatever you have. Well, we don't want, like, flea market crap. You know, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about, like,
no,
I said the word crap. Is that what I'm saying? Is crap okay? Crap's
fine,
okay,
man.
Crap's okay?
But, you want to know treasures. Kylan was talking about it last year or the year before. He actually saw someone had a copy of the Dallas role-playing game in the auction.
Yes.
By TSR.
Yes.
Treasures.
Yes. I've got some old games, old school board games from, like, forever ago, from before many of you were born. That will be in the auction. They're in really bad shape.
Well, most games from that time are.
What I mean is they're fixer-uppers.
Yes.
They're handyman's dreams is what these games are.
Handyman's dreams.
Yeah. But I'm going to be putting them in the auction with, like, no lowest bid.
Okay.
Like, lowest bid will be, like, a quarter.
Well,
but some of these are worth, like, billions of dollars to the right person.
To the right person, yes.
But, no, I mean, Cynthia and Jonathan, who are running the auction, Cynthia said she received a bunch of pictures from people who are who are putting stuff in the auction. And the sheer volume of things that are going in this auction has necessitated me to buy many more shelves.
Nice.
So anyone out there who likes to see a lot of shelves, like if, like if you like to go to, you know, the Container Store or Home Depot or Walmart and just look at the shelf department.
I do, man.
You know, you might enjoy seeing these shelves I just bought. $16 on Amazon, each 4 foot, you know, shelves, plastic,
nice.
Ivory color.
Really?
I bought 5 of them, and I might have to buy more because there's a lot of stuff going in this auction. So even if you don't care about the stuff that's in the auction, come to see the shelves.
Yes. You know where I'm going to be, man. I'm going to be looking at those shelves,
and
man.
And stop by and admire Cynthia's organizational skills.
Yes.
Do you know who is the bomb? Cynthia is the bomb. So is Jonathan. They're bombs together. They're a tie bomber.
They're a
tie bomber. Because they have the two pods.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a tie bomber has two pods on it.
Right.
One is Jonathan, one is Cynthia.
Right.
And they're both the bomb. So it's kind of ironic. Not ironic, but coincidental that we have our auction run by a tie bomber. That's what we're going to...
The twin ion engine
that's
bomber.
A nerd thing to say.
What happens to you when the microphones turn on? There's something that switches in your head. You become someone completely separate only during this podcast.
Well, you should have seen me on the news the other day.
It happens also when he gets in front of a camera somewhere.
I missed him when he was on TV at all.
I didn't see it, but I can understand because I've seen him when he's done interviews on camera with other things.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I was on TV on the news in Toledo last week, and that they were like, you know how I get.
Is there a way they could send you a copy
of that? I have it, actually. I have it.
We got to watch that.
But you're going to be disappointed because it's me just being like, look what we have at our mall. Here's some stuff.
And then, see, you know, the best one is I got to get a copy of the interview you did at Concoction with Mark and Jim from Tampa.
Yeah,
that was a great interview.
That one and the one we did last year at Con on the Cob.
Oh, yeah.
With Dice Squad.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and listen, Dice Squad's coming back. They're going to be there.
Geek Dig's going to be there.
We got a good podcast presence coming. But any of you peeps out there who run podcasts and want to get in on Con and the Cob, let these people know. Let Ken and Kylan and Don and Vicky, Miss Don. Sorry, I forgot the Miss that time. Miss Ken, Miss Vicky, Miss Don, Miss Kylan. They're all... Is that like a southern thing or like
this,
a...
I don't know
where it started from. I've done it since the beginning and it's always been that way.
It was you, Ken. It started with you.
But I mean, where did it come from?
I know.
I don't know.
Is that just because you're a polite young man?
No, I guess. For Ken, it was like deferential. He was being respectful.
I guess.
And my mind immediately went, Don's a dominatrix now.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm from the South.
I can see Don being... Is Don dominatrix?
I can see that.
I mean,
it's one of her many identities that we don't talk about.
I can neither confirm nor deny this.
I'm picturing Kylan with a ball gag.
Yeah, but see, no, I don't. No, I'm not. You know, I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not that.
Okay, we're going to move back away from this.
Like, I'm not that dude.
I think it's
a picture you in leather underpants and a ball gag.
I don't do the ball gag, man. I'm not that dude.
Leather underpants?
That's not for okay, guys.
We call that Monday.
We call that Monday.
We're going to go to Toledo here.
Ken's face is the same color as the cherry sitting.
Yes. I'm trying to keep our show family friendly.
It is family friendly.
Another show.
How do you think families get made?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's talk about some Toledo.
Okay, Toledo.
And I'm all out in Toledo. We already talked a bunch about this and what we thought was awesome about the show. Right. What did you think of the show in Toledo, Andy? It was the first time out in Toledo for Oddball.
Yeah, overall, the impression was fantastic.
Yes.
The people at Toledo were amazing. The news coverage was excellent. Much love to
the venue was amazing.
11 and Channel 13. My man Dwayne at the Seagate Center hooked us up. My man Joe out in the parking lot, he really hooked us up and showed people what was what. Everything worked out with the hotel. We really had no problems with the venue or anything like that. I think this was a great foot in the door.
Yeah.
Like, this show was big. It wasn't as big as our Akron show, because we've been doing the Akron show for a few years.
Exactly. Right.
Toledo is like, what? Oddball was that? I mean, we had people coming out from Toledo to the Akron one, and they knew. I think next year is going to be much bigger.
Yeah.
This year was good. I would have liked to have seen more people there. I would have liked to have had more vendors. But I think, just being honest here, you know, that was our foot in the door. That was our introduction.
I think, a fantastic first show.
Oh, it was way bigger, you know, than the early shows we did, like, in Hudson.
Yeah. Well, then you had to introduce people to what is the concept of Oddball, and you guys were still trying to figure out what the concept of Oddball
was. Plus, the fact that it was in a gigantic room.
Yeah.
I believe we probably had maybe 6,000 people there or so this weekend.
Okay.
But because it's such a big room, everyone's spread out, it doesn't really look like there's as many.
Yeah.
But I know, just personally, running my booth and selling my stuff, I did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was hardly ever at my booth.
Yeah.
So just that, I can't speak for all the vendors. I talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them were very happy. But just as far as how did the show go for the vendors, it seemed like it was going pretty well. I did notice that, our monsters that people put donations in.
Yeah.
I don't know if they needed better visibility or if people were just saving their money to spend in the vendor hall at the vendors or what. But those monsters were hungry.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they were like, man, my tummy hurts. I need some more. They were like, feed me some cabbage or whatever. But, it was all right. It was good. It was a great show.
Yeah.
I'll say that. We're definitely doing it again next year, October 14th and 15th at the Seagate Center in Toledo. This week, we're going to have the registration online for that. If anybody out there is looking to be a vendor, vendor signups have already begun.
Okay.
All is well.
And the nice thing is this one, for anybody that's traveling out to Toledo, the hotel is actually connected to the convention center.
And they gave us a reasonable rate.
Exactly.
Because it's a nice, like a luxury hotel. It's a Radisson.
Your suite was amazing.
Our suite was a Thai bomber. It was John and Cynthia.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the haunted people across from us were hilarious.
Yeah.
I wish they were there Sunday, too, because they were so entertaining.
I'm going to tell you what my measure, though, of what's a good hotel.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with clean sheets. It has nothing to do with bed bugs. Or if there's
or what you find under the
glass in your pocket. That's very wrong.
It has nothing to do with, various rubber band-like objects that you find under the couch.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with people breaking into your trailer or trying to steal your car.
No.
Anything like that that we've experienced at hotels in the past. It has to do with two words. You know what those words are?
Customer service?
The second one is pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is water.
Okay.
Water pressure in a hotel is the single most defining characteristic of how many stars I'm going to give that.
Andy got into this room before I did.
Yes.
A day early. And I got there and I said, what's the hotel room like? And he said, it has fantastic water pressure.
That's right. Now, here's my measure of what's good water pressure for a shower. Is if I go into the shower and I don't have to like tense up my pecs to avoid losing a nipple, then there's not enough water pressure. And the Radisson Park Inn had good water pressure. Like you nice. Can tell, look, all, my half my chest hair is gone. That's good.
So you said,
but no. Besides that, it was clean, comfortable, roomy. It was good, and the price was very reasonable.
Yes, especially for a Radisson. Most Radissons, you're talking what $120 to $150 a night for the cheap rooms.
We had the room rate blocked out at $95 a night.
Wow, that's a fantastic rate for a room.
At a hotel like that, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can definitely find a cheaper hotel room, but it's not going to be attached to the convention center, and it's not going to, you know, have those things. Right.
On our side of what we were running, with running the panels and the entertainment, the panels, almost all the panels, had at least a third of the room, if not more, for a show like this.
And that's good, because panels are pretty new at Oz.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I was surprised, because, like, at our other shows, the panels have yet to get that level of reception. And to get that level of reception right off the bat, it's like...
That's really good.
It's good, but then it kind of makes it... I'm like, okay, so I could craft... Because you have to craft those panels based on your crowd that you get.
Yeah.
You got to look at what's popular at the time, who's going to be there, who you have access to sit on the panel.
And what else is going on at the same time.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's one thing with Oddball is, like Con on the Cob, the people that come to the panels and stuff are people that are going to be, are planning on being there all day.
Did you notice the name of the panel that was at 3 o'clock on Saturday?
Which one?
Well, normally you have, you know, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
This one was called, let's go next door and watch the costume contest.
Yes. I like that.
Because, you know, you want as many people as possible at the costume contest. And you don't want people to miss the costume contest.
No. Something else they find interesting. Went extremely well, and in fact, we ran out of seats in the room.
Now, that's something we didn't know about. Kyla and I were actually, we knew that it was going on, but we were still talking from our panel from the time before.
How many people
did you have in the costume contest? Yeah. I estimated 50 people or so. How many people did you have entered into the contest?
We had three categories, kids, adults, and groups. I had three groups. And two of my groups were two people, and one group were they all two people? I think they were all two people, so that's six. And I think I had 15 or 16 apiece in the
so about 50.
So right around 50 people.
Yeah.
For a first time show ever, and out here in Toledo, we actually had the cosplayers come out.
And on Sunday, true to Oddmall form, you had the same, if not a higher level of cosplay presence on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of cosplayers walking around on Saturday who weren't in the contest.
Yes.
We probably had like 100 cosplayers over the course of the weekend.
I bet we probably
had
especially if you count the trick-or-treaters.
Well, that's what, like I was saying with the panels.
And not even counting kids.
The major difference with Oddmall and Comic Cobs, Comic Cob, people with the badges are going to be there all day. They know they are. They plan on this is what I'm going to do the whole time. Oddball is more of, it falls into the category of a craft show type thing, so people plan on going, checking out what's there, and leaving.
Right.
See, I saw a lot of repeat people.
Yes.
Saturday to Saturday.
There
was a lot that I saw where the father being normal clothes, the wife is all dressed up, the little kid was all dressed up.
I saw that too.
And they were coming back on Sunday dressed differently.
And sitting at the gift shop, you could see families come in, and you could tell some of them knew what was going on, like you said, especially the moms and the kids would be dressed up, but some of them had no idea, and then you could see their face. Like, they would see the 13-foot Stay Puff Marshmallow Man in the corner.
They just got so
excited. Like, it was amazing because there were very few people I saw who didn't immediately embrace it, even though they walked in not knowing what to expect.
A lot of people had no clue what to expect.
Yeah.
Right.
But because of the wonderful coverage we got from the news TV channels, and the Toledo Blade newspaper and the Toledo City paper, they all did articles on us.
And the radio.
And the radio. Yeah. I didn't even know about the radio. But they really gave us a great welcome. And so many people said, we saw you in the newspaper, and that's why we came. Or we saw you on TV. And there was Sunday morning even. They came, and I was on TV at like 7:30 Sunday morning before the show opened at 10. And they had live spots of me and talking to the reporter.
Yeah.
And a lot of people came because they were watching the news early in the morning on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, like, who watches the news early morning Sunday? Like,
everybody's
like,
do.
Yeah.
Do.
So
watching before right. church, a lot of it. It was,
yeah,
it was
I guess before while they're getting ready for church.
You know, 50, 55 and up,
yeah.
watched it before church, and then right. they came in after 12 o'clock.
But there were a ton of people that came Saturday, mm-hmm. and they said, I'm coming back tomorrow with my friends and family, and they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they brought their whole family and all their friends, and yeah, it was a good show. I'm really happy with it. I was a little, not disappointed, but a little, like, taken aback by, not taken aback, that's a bad phrase. I expected more booth sales,
yeah,
I guess.
Well,
but,
also
it again, is, because it's the first time, yeah. it worked out.
And was, what it is a lot of, because you had a lot of first-time vendors there also.
Yeah.
And a lot of Toledo and regional locals for that area.
Yes.
So now what it is, because you know they have shows out there.
And now we know people in the area that
exactly.
will help
and
us
then
next year.
These vendors are going to tell their friends.
Right.
And it won't take long to actually build it back
well,
up.
So no. Nobody, none of the vendors I talked to were disappointed in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all like, this is an awesome show. We love it. Even if they didn't sell a ton of
That's
stuff.
That's where I was going to go.
They had a great time. And a lot of them did sell a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's and, what I was going to say, is a lot of yeah. them that I talked to that said they didn't make the money they were expecting.
Yeah.
They still loved it and are coming back because they understood. They knew this is the first time you're at the show.
Right.
And they understood that they may not make as much as they're used to making.
Right. Well, I know, just from my own booth.
Yeah.
Like, I made enough on Saturday without even being at my booth most of the time to cover, if I had actually paid for my booth
yeah.
and my hotel, I would have made a profit.
Cool.
On Saturday.
Okay.
So I covered everything, travel expenses.
Yeah.
And booth fee and hotel on Saturday. And I mean, I don't know if it's just that people liked what I was selling or what, but
I don't know.
But I know a lot of other vendors did very well
yeah.
too. Mm-hmm. But that's how it is at every single show, whether it's Oddmall show or any other show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you sell a lot or not, a lot of ways has to do with how many people are there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it also has to do with what you're selling
mm-hmm.
and who you are. Like, you have to sell yourself too.
Yeah. Right, you do.
Well, we're running up on close to the end of the show here.
Good, because I have to go to the bathroom.
So, but we do have another Oddmall coming up in December.
Oh, you're right, we do.
But the thing is, I know the story on this thing.
Yeah.
We are sold out. Every vendor space available in the entire building is sold out.
Yeah, we
and
could actually
more, it's
fill
sold out.
Another
more.
Building the same size by December if we wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we could yeah. if
this,
there was space.
This show sold out in July. 115 vendor spaces. So then I'm like, well, I'm going to see if I can get some more. So I talked to the museum, which is attached to the Cultural Center, and got like 40 more vendor spaces. And those sold out in like 2 weeks. And then I was like, I got to find more. So there's these classrooms they have there. And I did a little shuffling around and added like 12 more spaces. And those sold out in like a few days. So
you
and we have
every
a list
inch of space available in this entire building.
At the moment. Unless there's one more thing
you gotta
we can try.
Talk to the theater, maybe.
I don't know if we can do the theater. But anyway, I talked to the Civic Center. See, part of it is, like, the vendors themselves are like, you know, we don't really want you to get more vendors because that's
yeah.
more competition for us. But at the same time, like, well, the bigger the show is, the more people it's going to attract.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's kind of a trade-off. So if it's a question of having a ton of vendors and also a ton of people coming to the show, or having a lot of vendors and a lot of people coming to the show, I would go for the ton over the lot.
Yeah.
Not only because mm-hmm. that means I sell more booths and my family gets better Christmas presents, but because, you know, it's a bigger show and it gets more attention
exactly.
for the city. It gets more attention for the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
If people are talking about the show and like, they had 50 vendors, you know, people are like, oh, well, that's okay. Maybe it will go, maybe we won't. But if they said there were 300 vendors there and selling all kinds of crazy stuff, that sounds like a big show and people
yeah.
want to come
yes.
to it. So,
well, we know this one sold out at the moment, but the one I want to get to is actually the February show.
Dream World.
Now, what is this Oddmall Dream World Con?
All right, let me tell you a story.
I don't think we've talked about this much on the show here, have we?
We have not, and we should.
No, we should.
I
was telling Marcus about this, and
yeah.
Marcus is like, well, I have not heard of this. And
that's pretty much the central failing of Geek Watch 1, in my experience, is that you don't talk enough about Dream World's Con.
Well,
you know, that's
we were
like,
waiting for everything to be locked down. We don't want to, like...
No, here's the deal with that. Okay, so this past February, we ran Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere
mm-hmm.
in Canton at the Cultural Arts Center, and it was a blast.
It was a good time.
Cultural Arts Center. They are wonderful.
But what many of you
yeah.
may
with.
Not know previous to that, I don't remember, probably last December, I met with my man Rob Lur over at the Canton Museum of Art, and he came to me and said, hey, we're doing next winter a show called Dream Worlds, which is a gallery exhibition of all kinds of fantasy art. A lot of gaming art, like from Magic the Gathering, stuff like that. And my man Chris Seaman is the one who's helping get a little artist for that. And so they said, how about, since you have so much experience running Con and the Cob and Oddmall, what if we run a con here at the museum in association with this art show? And I was like, dang, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah. And I did,
word.
You know, various noises like that. And we did some high fives. And we did that thing where you jump up and, like, turn your backs to each other and smack butts.
Did you do the Ruby Rod?
We did green. The Ruby Rod. We green? Green. How green? Like that. We said, boo, to some people that were in our faces. Anyway, we agreed it was a great idea. And I'm like, but you're talking about 2017, and this was the end of 2015. I'm like, I'm too impatient for that, right? So I'm like, yes, of course I want to do this show in 2017. Let's do it. But in the meantime, let's have a test run and do Oddmall Expedition elsewhere here in February, which we did, and it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, that place was a blast.
It's a little bit different than the convention centers we use. Like, it's different from Toledo, different from Akron. It's a much more intimate sort of show. Fewer vendors, but they're close. And it's intimate, and everyone gets to meet everybody. And it's like,
and just the buildings
busy.
Themselves are amazing.
The building is beautiful. I mean, it's an art museum, so it's pretty.
It was.
And
it is.
It was,
you got a giant bronze Pegasus on a fountain in the middle of it.
Love
with
the
our
Pegasus.
Eyeballs hanging
with eyeballs.
From it.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where the December show that's coming up, Chris Hanu Kwanzmadan is what we call it. See, everything has a weird word to it. Chris Hanu Kwanzmadan.
Yeah, that.
Chris Hanu Kwanzmadan.
Yeah, you know, it's because we're trying to represent everybody. You know, yeah. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadan. Even though, yes, I'm aware Ramadan is not in December, before anybody gets angry at me for saying it. Someone actually got mad at me. Because I'm like, I'm trying to be inclusive and make sure everybody, not everyone, I can't represent all of Earth's 20,000 religions. But I can at least, you know, use some prefixes and suffixes.
Right, and you're being thoughtful.
Yeah, and someone was like, you know Ramadan's in August, and they're like, this is so racist. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to represent. Anyway, that's a different story. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the word, Chris Hanu Kwanzmadan. February's show is Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere, but this coming February, 2017, the Canton Museum of Art, in association with Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere, is proud to present Dream Worlds Con. Where you can get into this show for only $5. I know Oddmall's usually free, but this is also gets you into the gallery show at the art museum, which is actually $8, but you get in for $5.
Okay.
That goes to support the art museum, not to Oddmall. So don't ignore them feeding monsters. But anyway.
So it's like one Lincoln or 500 Lincolns, depending on which way you want to go with it.
That's true. That's true. You can play all in pennies. That's right. Yeah. But anyway, this gets you into all the open gaming that's going to be there, into the panels. It gets you into the cosplay jazz. It gets you into all the vendors, all the entertainment that's going on, and also into the gallery show at the art museum, which is an incredible display of fantasy art and gaming art. It's Saturday and Sunday. You pay for one day, you get in both days. You don't have to pay separate each day. It's going to be a blast. And it's not going to be like Con on the Cob, where we have, you know, 24-hour-a-day scheduled gaming for 4 days.
Yeah.
This is more like open gaming. We're going to have a lot of board games and card games. If anybody's interested in running role-playing games, we can make that happen, too.
Yeah, so any RPG people who want to come and help us run some in February... hit us up at andy@andyhop.com or hit us up on the Facebook page.
Correct. Vendor space is still available. However, it is going to go quickly because it's at the same venue as this December show, which has sold out 3 times since July.
Yes.
There are a few vendor spaces left. There are also vendor spaces left for our May show in Akron, which is our biggest show. Last year we had about 260 vendors and probably 12,000 people at that show. So it's a big show, and the city of Akron should represent and say, whoa, you bring 12,000 people to our city? We're going to give you free venues and tax breaks and stuff. That's what they should do. Yes, so if you're listening, city of Akron, that's what you should do. And
word,
I'll call up the mayor. Say, what's up, mayor? The mayor will be like, oh, it's you, what's up? I'll go out to lunch with the mayor, we'll play golf. You know how we do. I don't know.
Anyway. I couldn't imagine seeing you on a golf course.
No, the only time I've ever actually been on a golf course... Well, I used to live next to a golf course.
Yeah.
So we'd go sledding on the hills and stuff in the winter. But the only time I've actually ever come close to playing golf that wasn't miniature in nature was going... I went with my dad once when I was like 13, and I just kind of hung out with him and, you know, rode on the cart. It was
fun. You know what? We need to get a thing with the three of us to go play some golf. Because I've played golf a couple times now.
Yeah.
Golf is fun. if you're not taking it serious. If you're actually out there playing the game, but having fun with it.
Here's the thing, though. If the three of us were going to do this, this is actually something we should do. The three, you, Kylan, Ken, and Andy, because I need to spend more time with Ken as it is. Because Ken's getting jealous because I'm spending too much time with Kylan.
That's just we know you like Kylan better.
Is he sexier than you? He's a bad kisser.
I can't help it, you know.
You just need to...
No, it's just...
wanting to hit balls.
Yeah. But anyway, what we should do, if we're going to go golfing, we need someone to record it.
Yep.
And we need to dress the part.
Oh, my
God.
We got to
wear the plaid pants and the hats and with the little puff balls on them.
And the vest.
We got to go all out or else it won't work.
Well, I was going to go Tiger Woods with the black pants and the red shirt.
That would actually be super fun. It'd be a fun video blog or vlog, as I've not just coined. Other people have coined before.
Maybe we'll talk to Randy.
How much fun would that be, though?
Have him make a video for us.
How much if we pick, like, oh, we've never played polo before, so we go play polo. But we can't afford to go on horseback, so we'll go get those, like, ride-on horses they have at Acme.
Yes! No. You get the stick with the horse head on it, and you...
Yeah, right.
Do they still make those?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like, yeah, a couple around here.
Your Quidditch version?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that'll be. Let's do that. Seriously, we never. The three of us.
I promise myself I would never touch a club beyond a putter, though, man. I promise myself.
You promise? Then use like a putter.
You don't understand. Just use a putter for everything. If you go with the right people.
Use a putter for everything.
I would use a putter for everything.
All right, you know someone, I know somebody, actually, who is like a golf fanatic.
Okay.
He was like, okay, you know how you are about comic books?
Yeah.
And how you are about...
Everything?
Star Wars?
Yeah. How you are about various things. This guy is a golf machine, right?
Okay.
It's actually... His name's Brian. He's actually Bunny's husband. And every time we call Bunny or say something, how you doing, Bunny? What's Brian doing? Brian's playing golf. Or Brian went on a vacation to play golf.
Yeah, but he's willing to just have a good time and not actually take it serious.
No, that's the point. He'd be the straight man. He'd be like, seriously trying to teach us golf.
A lot of times, though, I don't know Brian personally, but a lot of times you get someone who is serious about something like this. When you start goofing off, it really, really annoys them.
But that makes for good television.
Yeah.
It'd be like Ted Knight in Caddyshack.
Yeah. All right. Well, but anyway, we'll do something like this sometime.
Yeah.
Or maybe we won't have a straight. Maybe it's just three of us like figuring it out on our own.
Oh my gosh.
Or, even better, we could go miniature golfing but wear the golf getup.
Yes, I would do that.
Like, take it seriously. Like, hardcore. Like,
you know what? We're going to have to. We have a Geek Watch 1 YouTube channel that we don't use. We're going to have to do the Wide World of Geek Watch 1 Sports.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
The look on his face is saying, dude, we got to do something like this.
Oh my gosh.
Because, this is audio only.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a reason some people are audio only. None of the three of us are, like, the most physically fit peeps out there in the world.
I don't know. I got impressive shoulders.
You do. We all have some skills, right?
We do. We got skills.
We can take on a gang of ninjas and come out alive.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. We could.
But we don't look the part.
No, we don't.
Teenage
like,
turtles.
Yeah, we could take on some Ninja Turtles.
We could take on some Ninja Turtles, yeah.
What I'm saying is, if the three of us started doing, like, what are some other sports out there?
We'll make a list.
Curling. What? Croquet.
Parkour. If you're out there and you're thinking about this is sports that we need to, I'll do some parkour. You don't know anything about my agility.
I do know about your agility is off the charts.
But, so if you guys have, geeksters out there, if you have ideas for the Wide World of Geek Watch 1 Sports, send them to us at geekwatch1@gmail.com. Let us know. And put it in the subject line.
Yeah, we do.
Put the subject line, Wide World of Geek Watch 1 Sports.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Kylan's looking suggestion? Like, there's no way. So, but as we're wrapping this up, what was the dates for Con of the Cob and the two oddballs that are coming up there? Just so everybody knows. And then how can they actually get a hold of you or find the shows?
Let me break this down real serious-like. Because this show gets too goofy. You got to rein that in a little bit.
Anyway, I don't know about when you're on the show for some reason. Otherwise, I'm pretty good at keeping
it. I told you, there's this switch that flips, like, in his brain.
Yeah, well, it's like, what happens? You get Andy Hop normally. And then on shows like this, you get the Andy Hop.
Well, I can tell you why that is. I can tell you exactly why that is.
It's brand marketing.
I am a social vampire.
Is that what it is?
It's true. When I'm by myself, I'm calm and reserved. I think I do a lot of lashing out at my own self.
Okay.
Like, because I get overstimulated. This is like I bite my nails and stuff.
You don't want to be alone.
But when I'm with you guys, and I have an outlet for it, like at cons and shows, then I feel like like I'm not reining it in anymore.
Yeah.
And I can just do what I do.
Open the floodgates.
But if I'm by myself, what's the point of, like, frantically babbling about stuff to myself? That's craziness, man. That's madness.
You can just do it for my entertainment.
I can do it for Heather, but then you'd be like, shut up, shut up, shut up. Eventually. You talk too much, shut up.
Well, you know what, see?
Oh.
That's why, like, I have to save it for you, because, like,
no.
Dawn, like, she's like,
I like it.
Why don't you go hang out with Andy? Because, you know, the weird has to come out, so that's the reason why I know.
The way you just said that is the way my mother used to say, why don't you go play on the expressway?
Exactly. So hanging out with Andy is the new way of saying go play on the expressway. So, see that abandoned refrigerator over there? Doesn't it look like a rocket ship?
But then we get brisket tacos.
Con on the Cob, right? Con on the Cob.
Con on the Cob.
Con on the Cob. C-O-N-O-N-T-H-E-C-O-B. Not two B's. This is not a salad. .com.
That's how you get a hold of Con on the Cob.
Con on the Cob.com, November 10th through the 13th at the Days Inn in Richfield, Ohio, Brecksville Road, Route 21, right off of 77. Can't miss it.
Also, right off the Ohio Turnpike.
It's right off the Ohio Turnpike. If you're not having fun at Con on the Cob, that means we're not doing our jobs. So come talk to me and I will make sure you have fun. I'll even tickle you, I'll shoot you with the Nerf gun.
Hey, remember, Con on the Cob is where you're guaranteed you can always get a side hug from a bald-headed black man.
Yeah, did we
side hug? You can't do full frontal?
Well, I can do full frontal.
Okay, well, let's move on to Oddball.
That's a clip right there. You need to cut that out and save it. And then you just have a button where you press it later.
I have a couple of Kyle-isms.
I can do full frontal.
That's if somebody cuts and you just put that on there.
Yeah. But
December Oddball. December Oddball. December 10th and 11th, Canton, Ohio, at the Cultural Center for the Arts and the adjacent, and by adjacent I mean actually the same building, you go through one door, Canton Museum of Art. Also, that's December 10th and 11th. The following February 11th and 12th, Oddball Expedition Elsewhere, in association with the Canton Museum of Art, presents Dream Worlds Con. Followed in May 5th and 6th at the lovely John S. Knight Center in Akron, Ohio, Oddball Emporium of the Weird. Followed by an unannounced yet to be announced summer show outdoors of Oddball Backyard Bash. We have not found the venue for that yet, but we will soon.
We're working on
that. And then we already have the dates for next fall's Oddball Hallowondress edition in Toledo, Ohio at the lovely Seagate Center, October 14th and 15th.
And how can people find all the information about the Oddballs?
www.oddball, that's oddmall.info, oddmall.info.
Now that also includes the Northwest Oddballs that are run out in the Seattle area.
My brother David Hopp, lovely man, lovely. He's actually, if you guys haven't met my brother, if any of the listeners of Geek Watch 1 happen to be anywhere in the vicinity of Washington State or even Oregon, I would highly recommend you make the journey to any of the wonderful Oddball shows that my brother David runs. He runs, I think, at least three or four. I think he might be doing one in Portland next year. There's one in Everett, Washington. Maybe two in Everett, Washington. He's got one coming up very soon.
I think he's racing you to see who can do the more shows.
Well, he's got kids to feed, too. Yeah, but no, for real, Oddball on the West Coast, well, it's actually Pacific Northwest. That's what we call it, Oddball Pacific Northwest Edition. And then there's like that, boom, boom, you know, CSI and Law and Order.
Dun, dun.
Except you don't say Wolfdick at the end of all the episodes of Oddball like you do with Law and Order.
It's Dick Wolf, but yes, we say it that way.
Well, it's like,
actually, we have a listener who's a big fan of the show, Evan Johnson.
What's up, Evan Johnson?
And he lives in Arlington, Washington.
Okay, there you go. That's right near Seattle. Evan Johnson. Look up oddmall.info. Go check out the link to the Oddball in the Pacific Northwest edition. You're going to love it. If you don't already go there, meet my brother David. He looks nothing like me except similar.
He might be wearing some ridiculously tie-dye looking clothes.
Yeah, he wears like some crazy... My brother has like this incredible fashion sense. which, Ken, you may appreciate because you have an association with professional wrestling.
Okay.
And my brother does as well. And he loves to wear, like, spandex pants, like, with, like, some crazy, brilliant, multicolored print.
Oh,
on top of that.
Like stripies.
On top of that, like, striped knee socks or something. And like, a shirt that's another different... I know, I gotta see your hand movement to wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. I'm gonna show you a picture. I'll pass this picture around after we're done.
Oh, I've met him.
Right. But anyway, David, if you're listening to this, much love, brother. Anyway, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, go visit Odd Mall. But does it matter, really, if you go over time? It's audio. Do people care?
Like, I'm not listening to this. It's 4 minutes longer.
We tried to...
That's my brother. Oh, like, he's got like a fluorescent, fiery-colored fanny pack on.
That's
my brother right there.
Wow.
If you turn it sideways, he looks like a grasshopper.
He does.
That's interesting.
That's all at oddmall.info also.
Yes. Right, yes. Oddmall.info takes you to a splash page that has a listing of all the different Oddmall shows, as well as Con on the Cob and Dream World's Con.
Okay. And then, how could everybody, if they wanted to talk to you, Mr. Andy Hopp, how could they get a hold of you?
I don't want them getting a hold of me. No, I'm just kidding. They could either meet me on the street, like stalk me, and be like jumping out of... you know, alleys and stuff. But just go to Facebook and look up my name and friend me. Say, hey, Andy, want to be my friend? I'll be like, yeah, I want to be your friend. Well, first, I've got a screening process.
Right.
On my screening process, it says, first of all, are you evil?
Yes.
Right. And if they say yes, I'll say, in what manner are you evil? If they say they're, like, racist or homophobic or Trump supporter or something, then I'll say no. I'll deny their friend request. But if they say I'm evil and that, like, I like to summon demons in the basement or something, I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with that.
I do that all the time!
Yeah, my kids did that last night. That's fine. But anyway, no, I like everybody except those people I just mentioned.
That guy's connected.
That guy. Don't get me started.
I can't stand that guy. I was like, that, you know. Guy. He can try to come to Con on Cop, but he's going to be stuck in the parking lot.
I also have to use the bathroom now.
Yeah, so I think it's time to start wrapping this up.
Yeah, can we wrap this up, please? This is going way too long.
Geeksters, remember, you can always get a hold of us.
I know.
Geekwatch1.com.
He won't even let people talk. Like,
he's trying to close the show!
Like, you're trying to talk, and he's just talking over you.
Ken, just turn on your blast voice.
Yeah, so everybody go to geekwatch1.com. You can find us on all social media. Miss Dawn has us as GeekWatch1 just about anywhere. If there's a social media outlet, we're there.
Yep.
You can also, like I said, send
us... too bad.
That's right. If you want to email us, send us at geekwatch1@gmail.com. And other than that, for Robin, who doesn't say much, we should talk a little more. Then for Andy and for Kylan and for Miss Dawn and Miss Aurora that joined us and Miss Vicky and myself... Oh, sorry.
Did you just call my wife Dawn?
Miss Heather. Miss Heather gets
Dawn
her own.
Is a wonderful lady.
That's similar personality.
Yeah. Wishful thinking.
Geeksters, just remember.
No matter where you go, there you are.